We have to make sure that we don't just fix the parts that are broken. We also have to make sure we don't break the parts that are actually working very well.
Hi, I'm Ted Ballacher with Reason TV. Today I'll be speaking with economist Glenn Whitman. Dr. Whitman is co-author, along with Raymond Rodd, of the new Cato Institute policy analysis, Bending the Productivity Curve, Why America Leads the World in Medical Innovation. Let's get right into the key points of your study. What, if you had to boil it down to a few of them, what were they?
Everybody realizes that the American system of healthcare is very far from ideal. And the real question is not whether we're going to reform it, but how. But if we're going to do that, we have to make sure that we don't just fix the parts that are broken. We also have to make sure we don't break the parts that are actually working very well. And it turns out that one of the areas that America is really great at is medical innovation. In fact, we lead the world in medical innovation, whether it's basic medical research or diagnostics or therapeutics. It turns out the United States leads the world. It's ahead of any other country and often greater than all other countries combined.
And I think many things interesting about your study, it's not just we're a big country with a lot of people. You compared the U.S. against the EU plus Switzerland in a lot of cases. The EU plus Switzerland has a lot more people compared to the U.S.
That's right. Europe actually has a population a good bit higher than the United States. The European Union countries plus Switzerland have a combined population about 50% higher than the United States. And yet the level of innovation in the European Union and Switzerland is actually a good bit lower than that of the United States.
And you also point to a lot of some common problems with international healthcare comparisons. A lot of them leave out this crucial factor of innovation.
When people do international comparisons of healthcare, they often look just at life expectancy or just at infant mortality or some other measure of the health of the population. And of course, you want to look at those things, but you also have to be looking at the level of innovation produced in different countries. And the problem is that the innovation that the United States produces, we bear the cost for that. And that shows up in our cost statistics. And it's one of the reasons that we end up spending more than other countries. And yet, the benefits of our innovation don't just show up in our healthcare statistics. It will show up in every country's healthcare statistics, or at least those of the countries that actually use the innovations that we create, which is most of them, especially the developed countries.
You looked at a variety of different ways. You know, how do you slice innovation? You can slice it in a bunch of different ways. One is, for instance, Nobel Prize winners, correct?
It turns out that the United States has had more Nobel Prize winners in the area of medicine and physiology than all other countries combined. And this is if you measure it by the individuals who have received it or the number of years in the last 40 years or so that an American has been among the recipients.
And another thing you guys did was look at not just all innovations, but according to a wide survey of doctors, what they regard as the most important innovations. And what did you find in that regard?
If you look at the list of innovations, meaning both treatments and drugs, pharmaceuticals, and diagnostics, that doctors tend to agree are the most important innovations of the last 30 to 40 years. It turns out that many of those innovations came from the United States. In fact, more from the United States than came from the European Union and Switzerland combined.
What are one or two examples of those?
We're talking about ACE inhibitors for blood pressure treatment. We're talking about selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are a treatment for depression. We're talking about treatment for cataracts. All of these are areas where the United States has made important contributions that have benefited the entire world.
Now, often when people point out how innovative America is compared to other nations, a common rejoinder is, well, you know, that's because of the NIH government funding. How do you respond to that?
That is part of the picture, but it's also the case that there is a massive amount of private investment that's taking place in the United States that, again, would make the amount contributed by Europe look small.
And it's also different kinds of innovations when you're talking about what the government funds versus what pharmaceutical companies and such actually develop, correct?
So when you're talking about government funding, usually what you're talking about is the funding for basic scientific research. So it might be that NIH funding is helpful for understanding why the U.S. has a lead in Nobel Prize winners. But when it comes to understanding why the United States leads the world when it comes to diagnostics and therapeutics, essentially where the medical knowledge hits the road and actually helps people's lives, gives us better treatments and diagnostics. In that case, you're not talking primarily about the government funding for the NIH. What you're talking about is individual practitioners. You're talking about pharmaceutical companies. You're talking about medical device companies, which are actually inventing the means by which to do these treatments.
So you mentioned the U.S. is doing plenty of things wrong when it comes to healthcare. But in this area of innovation, we're doing a lot of things right. What are we doing right?
Well, oddly enough, it seems paradoxical, but some of the things that we're criticized for, and perhaps rightly so, are also things that are part of our advantage when it comes to innovation. If you think about what kind of incentives the innovators actually need, among other things, they need monetary incentives. They need to know that they're going to get a higher return, they're going to get it sooner, and they're going to get it for a longer period of time. Well, as it turns out, in the United States, we use a great deal of these innovations. We tend to use them faster, and we tend to diffuse their use a lot more quickly as well. The result of that is often that we end up paying more. We both use the treatments more often and we pay more for them. And this is often regarded as a defect of the U.S. system. And perhaps it is, but we have to realize it's not just bad. There's also an upside, which is that it adds to the incentive that innovators have to create great products that we're going to be able to use to improve our lives.
And then if the U.S. is the model of how to do it right, at least in terms of innovation, you and your co-author point to the UK and the Nordic nations as places where innovation is not going so well. What are they doing wrong?
Well, among other things, they have centrally organized healthcare systems that give a great deal of buyer power, bargaining power to the government to decide what kinds of new treatments are going to be used, how quickly, and what price is going to be paid for them. And basically, it's using the power of government to cram down the expenditures that are made on healthcare. But at the same time, what they're also doing is cramming down the amount of innovation that's going to take place as well. When you have restrictions on the rate of diffusion of new technologies and how quickly people are going to be able to use a technology when it comes available, obviously that's going to reduce the return that an innovator is going to get for creating that innovation in the first place.
But in some sense, they can have their cake and eat it too. They may not get the innovations as quickly or as much of them as we get, but and this is another point you mentioned, that to a large extent, the rest of the world is free riding off the U.S. Can you explain that?
Americans end up spending a lot more on the results of innovation in the medical field. What we're doing is we're creating a much greater incentive for these innovators to create their products in the first place. Meanwhile, the rest of the world is able to use those products once they've already been created, and they're able to do so at a relatively low price. What that means is essentially the United States is subsidizing the rest of the world.
So a lot of the drug manufacturers know that they'll still have the massive U.S. market where they can make a bunch of money, so who cares if there are price controls in Canada? Is that more or less it?
Exactly. So if you take a pharmaceutical company, what is the real incentive that gets them to create the product in the first place is the fact they know they're going to have a large market in the United States.
So then the question becomes, what happens if the U.S. moves more in their direction? Because I hear of surveys from the U.K., for instance, where people say, generally speaking, you know, we like our health care. Then they hear about the different sorts of procedures, drugs, treatments that are available in the U.S. Suddenly they don't like their health care quite as much.
If we end up adopting a system that is more like that which they have in Canada and in Western Europe, it may seem like things are going just fine, except for the fact that there are stillbirths in the area of innovation. Innovations we could have had, treatments that we could have had, drugs that we could have had, but we'll never see them, and we'll never realize that we could have been living longer, happier lives.